Hello, what's going on? You're welcome to the Vibes and Kili Willy podcast, where you get to listen to the crazy random ramblings that goes on in the head of a medical student, and also interesting conversations I have with even more interesting people. This podcast is about fun stories, funny opinions, and even funnier experiences. So don't take anything you hear from here on out too personal. Because after all, it's all Vibes and Kili Willy.
Aww, that makes me feel so good inside.
This podcast is, of course, about interesting. What do you like?
No pressure whatsoever.
Okay. Hello, welcome to another episode of the Vibes and Kili Willy podcast. On today's episode, I have one of my closest friends, one of my best friends, one of the most interesting people.
Aww.
I am fortunate to call friend. I've known this girl for how many years now? It's been 3 years, but it's been 3 plus years. We've had
ups and downs.
But I freaking love you, and from the very first day we started, we bonded. I think I just always knew that this girl is going to be my friend.
That makes me feel so good inside.
This podcast is, of course, about interesting people and even more interesting conversations. And this is one of the most interesting people I know. It's one of the funniest people.
No pressure whatsoever.
Okay. No pressure whatsoever. That is really good. My friend, the woman, the myth, the legend.
Oh my God.
Osaremine,
hi. Osaremine. This is me, Osaremine.
Osaremine. What's up?
Hey.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. I'm good.
Thank you for having me on.
I think it's amazing what you're doing. Like, I'm so proud that you're actually doing it. I mean, everybody has creative ideas. Not many people act on them. So it's amazing to see you doing this, taking it one day at a time. It's really refreshing to see, and I'm glad to be on it. Like, this means so much to me.
Thank you. So before we go into grilling you about, before we go into like talking about all the things I want to talk to you about, the first question I have to ask, this is the vice part. The first part is the vice part. Then we'll get to the Kili Willy part.
My favorite part.
So to start the vibes, I always want to throw it to you first. Mm-hmm. You have any question you always wanted? Do you have anything you always wondered about me?
Always wondered.
I'll answer 100% correct.
Wondered. Honestly, I don't think so. I think
it's I'm such an open book.
Yeah, like, I think like if there was anything I wanted to ask you, I'd have done it by this point. Yeah.
So from every single episode that we've had now,
that's been the response.
This has been the consistent response. So I just want to let to the listeners know, you know, that I'm a very, very, very open. See my peers.
Mm-hmm.
I won't bullshit you. Yeah. Say it. If it is it, it is it. If they want to know anything, they know they can always talk to me. I will be 100% honest.
Yeah.
Please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, so like you said, my name is Osaremine. I'm Nigerian, proudly from Edo State. What else? Med school. Fifth year. It's hard.
Definitely it's hard.
Yeah, I don't know. It's very, I find it very awkward when people say, tell me about yourself. It's like, what do you want to do? Like, just ask and I'll tell you, because like I have this script prepared in my head that I can just pull up. But yeah, Let's just dive straight in.
Tell us about yourself.
Where do I start from?
From the background.
From my background. Okay, so I have a degree in human anatomy. Yeah, that was not the plan.
From which university did you graduate?
From Bangkok University. I graduated in 2018. Yeah, June.
Yes, with the first class.
It wasn't a first class. We've been over this.
Best graduating student. You can go and check it out.
So I graduated in 2018, getting into Babcock, like, it was never supposed to be anatomy, but that was why I got, I think, because of jam scores or some nonsense. It was my year that they introduced computer-based testing, but I think that happened after we had written them, the conversation now still coming up. But I wrote paper for that year. You know how Jamb is and all the mechanics behind it and how the scores are manufactured, Lord knows. So that happened, and then yeah, I didn't get medicine when I applied. I got anatomy. My mom is like, it's anatomy, just do it. I mean, it's in that line, since that's a career path you want to go in. I wish I knew better then. So I got into anatomy, started, I think after my first year, I tried to like switch courses, but I wasn't allowed to do that. And then I said, okay, might as well finish the anatomy. It was fun at the time. It was fun, I'm not lying. It was fun. I enjoyed it. I was good at it. So forged ahead, graduated.
And not to mean that most of us are struggling with medical. He has a whole degree in it and it was just fun. Like just getting a degree in an actual, just fun. So much fun that she was the best graduating student. Oh God.
As I was saying.
That's a testament to how smart this person actually is.
Oh, stop. Yeah, so that was that. And then I graduated and I started at NYSC. And I don't even know, my mom now, the conversation about University of Ghana kept coming up because I think she has doctors who trained at University of Ghana. She's been impressed with their performance and everything. She's like, oh, it seems like a good school. She's asking all the questions. I wasn't even bothered. I was just like, hey, when you're tired, you rest. But so yeah, I started my NYSC, I think 4 months in, that was when the game access course was going to start. And she was like, just do this thing now. And I'm like, what's the rush? Let me finish my NYSC. I'm not going anywhere. And she's like, just go for the access course, write the exam. You don't know. And up until this point, I didn't know how badly I wanted it. So I came to Ghana, I met you guys, did the access course. And then, you know, the day the results from the exam part came out, I think the interview list, when it came out, the way the list was set up, right, my name was number 4 on that list.
Yeah.
But when you look at, well, you know, the international students' names came first, then the Ghanaian students, and then from the Ghanaian students, it was alphabetical order, but ours wasn't. So I started looking for my name under I. I did not find it. Hey, I heard said panicking. And then something just said, look up. And I looked up and I saw I was number 4. I said crying. That was when I knew how badly I wanted it.
I thought you didn't care.
I honestly thought I didn't care up until that point. So I was happy that that part was done, and then the whole interview. And
that was definitely something.
I got in, and here we are. How was the interview process? It was okay, I guess. I mean, I was number 4, so I was number 4 for the day.
Yeah.
And then when I got in, I think on the panel, Dr. Hotto was there. I can swear that woman was Prof. Welbeck. I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure it was Prof. Welbeck. It was some first small lady that I think now is Prof. Welbeck. And then some other guy, one particular guy who was asking me the common knowledge questions, like asking something about what was happening in the world right now. Apparently, the answer was something was going on in Vuvuzela at the time. Is it Venezuela? Hey, God, please.
I will not edit that part.
In Venezuela, obviously I did not know. Then there was another foreign affairs question. I didn't know that as well. But other than that, the hypothetical clinical scenario they created and everything else that went after that was fine. It was just a common wealth and foreign affairs part that was just a bust. So everything was fine. And
okay.
Here we are.
Wow, sounds very good. Very.
But so, to be honest, I'm glad I got in when I did, because look at how everything has gone wrong for the class behind us. And I'm like, I can't imagine being in that class.
I comment my reserve on that class. I don't want to say anything. I mean, I know some amazing people in that class.
Yeah,
so,
definitely.
But
things just seem to go wrong for them. And it's like, why?
I'm not going to comment.
Let's not.
I'm not going to comment on that on the podcast. We have our conspiracies, but we are not going to comment on that.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, clearly they just finished their final part one, and
happy for them.
I really hope not. So, I was going to ask this next question, but from the story you just gave, I wanted to ask you if you have any regrets.
I could have been doing so much more with this time. I could be doing something else. But honestly, I feel like it's all part of the story that we'll tell. And I don't really regret anything per se. So it's just like, okay, yes, it's been fine so far. It's been good all the way. So yeah, it's like we are here. This is the path that we have chosen to go through. So might as well. I mean, in hindsight, I could have done something in business or in computer science. But here I am saving lives. So
I know, right?
Yeah, it's a bit fulfilling.
It is supposed to be. Thank God for that.
Thank God for that.
Thank God for that. So you will do it all over again?
No. Sadly enough, no. Because
after all your entire episode,
after all my episode, it's like they're easier. At the end of the day, yeah, everybody talks about passion and how it's passion that is driving us. Yes, it is, but I could be passionate in other areas. I could be making money and doing things in other areas. So if I could do it again, chances are I may not end up here. Never say never, but yeah, it's most likely never. I guess, I think so.
Okay, this is definitely, I mean, other people have always said that.
Oh, they will come back. Let's not lie. Like, I like the soft life. A certain, like, look at how stressful our lives are right now. Like, this is not what I was born for. But, oh well, we are here.
It really isn't. It really, really isn't. Okay, so we can continue from here.
Okay, cool. That sounds good.
I guess. I think it's good now. I will continue.
Sure thing.
Just what are your hobbies and how did you get it?
Hobbies. Mm-hmm. What is a hobby? I like singing. Yes, I like to sing.
Definitely do.
I do, and I like to let people around me know that I like to sing. Yes, it's a blessing, and yeah, it's just a blessing. It's not because I love singing. I love watching movies. I love brunching. I don't do enough of brunching because I spend my money in other areas. But brunching is
makeup.
Yes, I love to do makeup. I love seeing how like face transforms from beautiful to even more beautiful. So yes, I love the art of makeup. I love buying makeup. I love looking at makeup.
Definitely love buying makeup.
I spend time
spend way too much money on makeup.
Please, I haven't spent money on makeup this year, so stop it. I'm doing so good. Yes, I like watching YouTube videos. I like reading novels. I'm supposed to be preparing for my exam, but I've been reading novels. So yeah, I do like playing board games.
The last have we read?
It's a book called Brutal Vow. It's a mafia series. It's on my phone. But yeah, I have some books here. I see you looking at my shelf.
Some book.
Why Men Marry Bitches.
Ibi.
I haven't even read it yet.
When Men Marry Bitches.
Yes.
Okay, so what? I've not read the book yet.
I haven't read the book yet. Like, the title just captivated me. It's about...
I'm sure. It's definitely captivating.
I mean, I would say this book and not want it. A Woman's Guide to Winning Her Man's Heart.
Wow.
By Sherry Argos. Wouldn't you want to win your man's heart if you're a woman? This book is the guide, apparently.
What I've seen from, what's it called? Female whatever guide and what these people.
Mm-hmm.
They usually don't have the best at, first of all.
The best approach. See that thing, it's not everybody.
Let me give you my this thing.
Give it to me.
If you really want to know something about men, mm-hmm, ask me.
Okay.
I mean, I can give you perspective, but it would always be based from rose colored glasses, like some sort of, but you wouldn't understand how it feels. And we really don't tell you guys a lot.
Exactly. So if you know you're not going to be honest about how you feel, why should I bother asking? Like, why don't I go to Sherry for the answer?
Why Men Marry Bitches is a book by Sherry
Argov. Yes.
If you're listening to the podcast and you want to,
yeah, I can't vouch for the book because I haven't read it myself yet, but it's on my to-be-read list. I've been reading fiction and young adult novels.
That's what it's supposed to be. Yeah.
It's supposed to be a practical guide.
This will definitely tie into the next part of this thing. So this one, they are looking for why men marry bitches.
I am actually not looking for why men marry bitches.
So this one, you are asking the question why men marry. So are you trying to become a bitches?
No, I'm not trying to be
a man. So you can marry a man.
Aren't we all at the end of the day? Actually, we all aren't, but sure, I guess.
So you're trying to become a bitches so you can marry a man.
I can marry a man, yeah.
That's good.
It's in the plan.
So who is the latest man reader?
Oh, there is no man in my reader right now. And the funny thing is, it's like, I was talking to my sister the other day and I was like, I miss, you know, how it felt to have feelings for somebody.
You miss how it felt?
Yes. You know, sometimes there's some stupid boy in your mind that you're like, you know, okay, yes, crushing. You're crushing or you're thinking about somebody.
Yeah, it's a fun
thing. It's actually really fun. It's really fun. But this, when you're on the other side and you've gotten over those mumu feelings, it's like, you miss it. And I'm not going to lie, I miss it. It really is fun though. Like, I don't know. Like, my mind is empty. Like, no entity or XY chromosome is currently occupying any space in my head.
Wow. Isn't that liberating?
It is actually liberating. But when you think about it, it's like, so there's nobody that's texting me good morning. And nobody that's texting me good night. The other day, I think I was at a friend's place and I carried my phone had been like down for like 6, 5, 10 minutes, and I pick up my phone and it's like, what's one single message? So nobody cares about me in this world. Like, it's sad. It's actually quite sad.
It definitely can be. Like, sometimes, like, the whole weekend, we can text.
No good no money, call, my love.
Nothing. I'm like,
nothing. It's very sad.
Is that how nobody's remembering?
Nobody's thinking about us. Nobody's checking for us. That's why we need to check for ourselves.
Well, somebody will find us.
That's last.
Somebody's going to find us
one day, baby. One day.
So how has medical school impacted dating for you? Or has it hampered?
I feel like when I say hampered, I feel like it's practically stayed the same. To be honest, coming to Ghana initially, like, I had no interest in. Like, I was open to the possibility of meeting someone, starting something magical. But medical school hits you hard and it hits you fast.
Mm-hmm.
And then initially, in the preclinical phase, there was no time. There was exactly when going out as much. It was once in a while, you plan your outing, it falls through, that kind of a thing. So where would you meet someone?
And then, now safe.
Yes. So even now that it's gotten tougher, it's gotten harder. Admittedly, there's a little bit more time, but it's the free time you have, you spend it sleeping, or you spend it catching up with like the friends you already have. So chances to meet someone, it's not the greatest place to, you know, fall in love.
When do you take your chances to improve?
I don't know, honest. I don't know, because it's like you finish, you come and start your house job. It's like, so never. It's a vicious circle. You have to find time. I feel like we have to like purposely carve out time to go out, mingle. And then another thing is, who are the friends you're associating yourself with? All my friends are in the medical school. Felicity challenged me 1 month to like make one friend outside of the medical school. First of all, I have a resting bitch face. Like, nobody wants to approach in the first place. And in the second place, it's like, most my friends' friends are in the medical school.
Yeah.
The ones that have been brought around me are also in the medical school. So it's like you're just surrounded by more and more medical school layers. It's like, where do I get the chance to meet somebody outside the medical school or meet somebody that is even remotely exciting? So yeah, that in itself is a bit of a hindrance to, you know, finding one true love.
I can't honestly disagree with how, because I actually have been thinking about that. Like, you must meet someone. Like,
yeah, where?
Where? There is not enough time or energy to go out.
And the few times you go out, that's when you see all the ugly people. God, please forgive me. Nobody's ugly, but that's when you notice the ones that are, you know, catching your eye. And then it's the day you dress like a scrap. That's you. So honestly, like, at this point, I don't know how he's going to find me, but he should do it.
Well, okay, if you find him and he finds you, why would you would you shoot your shot?
See, that's another thing. That's another conversation. See, I respect people 100% who can walk up to somebody and shoot their shot, even if it's via text or in person. I respect it. I did it once. Never again. Never ever again. First of all, one thing people don't know about me is I'm very shy. Unless I'm comfortable around you, I am super shy. So I feel like there's some guys who find it very flattering to be able to, like, when a girl walks up to them and says, hey, I think you're cute.
Of course it is flattering. Like, is it not flattering for you?
It's amazing for me. But it's like, nah, I can't. I just can't do it. I am too shy. I can't think I ever muster up the courage. And the one time I did do it was via text. How did that turn out?
Oh, via text.
Some stupid boy. I said, I'm not doing it again. So yeah, it's not.
But at least you could meet someone, like, okay, maybe not go up and say, oh, will you marry me?
Mm-hmm.
hey, I'm a bitches, you are men.
I'm a bitches, you are men.
You marry me. No, maybe you not go that route, but you can, like, oh, hello, hi. Just, you know, introduce yourself.
Introduce, that's the thing. I don't think I can will my legs to move to go and say hello,
but
hi.
You are not.
See, the thing is here. Let's say, I don't know. See, there's some people that you meet and it's organic and it just clicks and it works. But more often than not, you have to, like, create a scenario, create an opportunity for you to walk up to somebody and say hi. So, yeah, I don't see myself doing much creation. It's just like I just can't.
You can't.
I wish I could. I just can't.
So when you go to this outing,
mm-hmm.
are you one of the many ambitious? Let's say women. Since we are using
since men, using bitches and men and a bitches.
Since, are you one of the many a bitches? For those listening to us, please do not take offense.
Yes, it's based on Sherry Argoff's book Why Men Marry Bitches. For those who are just joining in.
Exactly. And so about Akili Willy at the end of the day. So if you are getting offended, go and watch your photos. So are you not how should I ask this question?
Ask
are you one of the people that are you not one of the people that go out and your phone is buried in your face is buried in your phone or your phone is buried in your face, one of them?
I feel like it depends on who I'm out with in the first place. It depends on what we're doing on the outing. Let's say what
as a man mm-hmm. that hopes to marry bitches. If you go out now, like, it's just all everybody just on their phone.
That is really annoying though.
Like, everybody just face down, and the only time they literally raise their head up is to take a selfie, to take a Snapchat story. That's the only time you can actually see their face. Other than that, they have like neck down on the phone, and it's just.
It's discouraging.
It's definitely discouraging. And people who don't, especially like, bitches do not go out alone.
Yeah, bitches go out in groups.
It's first of that's the first, like, you're already intimidated by the group. Very,
like, why should you be though? Because it's like your interest is in one person. Your interest is in one person amongst the bunch, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's more points for you if you are courageous enough to walk up to the group and focus on who you want to talk and be like, hi, my name is so and so. I think you're beautiful. Blah 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 blah. It's very flattering.
Okay. Okay. Now, how do you address the all eyes on you?
if it's a sensible group of friends, that's when they will
see how you
bury their heads in their phones.
Is it the interjection that is this?
Sensible group of friends. Yeah.
Sensible group of friends. How many sensible group of friends? Even in a sensible group of friends, don't we have one man?
Yes, we do.
And we have that one friend too that will be like, mm.
I get what you mean. I really do. So, okay, but what's the alternative? Wait for her to stand up and what?
I guess.
What is the plan?
Step on the dance floor. Hey, hi, can I know, we dance more.
So if there's no dance floor. But funny enough, yeah, I feel like if you're across the room and I'm here, or making eye contact, I don't know.
This tackles barrier to the phone. Mm-hmm. Listen, because everybody, how can you make eye contact
if your head
when
is
you
your
are
phone.
You are looking inside your phone?
True. To be honest, these days it's hard, and I don't even know how. Props to the men who do it, and I don't know.
It's definitely more difficult. I'm not going to lie to you. It's like there is less and less motivation, and you have to. You also have to like mentally navigate. Okay, I can do all this. See the perfect pickup line. What if this person just comes out and says that you are like, what if you're sexually harassed? Because right now, the lines of sexual harassment is now blurry. Right now, it's like, it's no longer about what you do, it's about how what you did make the person feel.
True.
It's no longer about.
But then, are you being a creep? What are you saying exactly? See. I can't speak for all women, but I know me, like, if you came up to me and you said something, first of all, most people, like I have resting bitch face, and it's like I'm frowning. Once you say something to me, I give you the biggest smile. And then it's another thing of, is the guy, if I want to say no, or I'm not interested in what you're saying, how are you the guy receiving what I'm saying? Because some people, it's like, I mean, most guys in Nigeria, I don't know, start insulting you, like, who do you think you are, like, who you? But it's like, yeah, me, I would be nice. No matter what you're saying, or how you're saying it, or how you look, or what you've said, I would try as much as possible to be nice about my acceptance or rejection, regardless. So, and I feel like that's something that everyone should, you know, at least try. Just be kind. Because, like, you don't know what your refusal has done to that person's self-esteem.
Well, it definitely doesn't help.
It doesn't help, I guess.
I mean,
I can't be a guy. Like, if I was a guy for one day, like, I don't know how I would do it. I won't talk to anybody, last, because, like, nah.
Sometimes, like, you have to be a salesman. You have to, have to learn how to sell yourself. I don't want to go into that.
That's why I always go from the, like, if you're approaching me, I prefer you come from an angle of trying to be my friend, and then, you know, be my friend.
And that's how people end up in the friend zone.
But that's the thing. True. But see, you have to fight last to get out of the zone if they throw you inside.
Well, like, I don't remember. That's the only way to get out of it. Death.
What?
That's it. Like, once you enter that zone, only death can take you out of that zone. That's all. We have this call. I can't put this call right. Let's continue with this.
Okay.
Yeah, so the last person that's
okay, let's not say okay, you're trying to, like, okay, actively, if you're interested in this person and you've made your intentions, you know that you're interested in her. So how are you coming at it? Because some people just be like, okay, straight up, I'm trying to date you, let's date. Like, let us, I don't know how to do these things these days. Mm-hmm. But hey, sharp, be my girlfriend, bruv. Say you like me. Oh, you don't know shit about me. What do you know about me? What do you like in me? So at least try and get to know me a little.
Your feet.
Yeah.
I like your body.
Try and get to know me. Know what makes me tick. You know, just be around me, and then before you can start spitting your hey, will you be my babe or whatever. I don't know how they're saying it, but at least try and make an effort to, like, speaking get to know the person that I am.
Speaking of these weird things, tell me the weirdest, like, the weirdest or the funniest or the craziest reason why you've ever turned down someone.
Oh, this one didn't give me opportunities to turn him down properly, bastard. There was this guy, I was having issues here at the bank with my, what's it called, my account. And then I go to the bank customer service, and the guy, he's the customer service agent attached to my account or whatever. And then he's like, oh, I think it was an issue of linking my phone to the account or something. And then he's like, let him, give him my phone number so that he can test it. Because it was a phone number related issues. I'm like, oh, fine, there's nothing fishy going here. I give him the phone number, and then he does it. And he's like, okay, to reflect by Monday. So I'm like, okay, cool. I think in the point of, like, it's customer service now, so your approach has to be here. So I think we got to talking. I was still in undergrad then, and everyone was calling you, know, like, Babcock. I know Babcock girls, so we have a reputation. Yeah.
Definitely do.
End of story, I leave the bank. This was, like, Friday. Sunday morning, I'm preparing for church. Papa calls me. I'm like, ah. Because I saved his number, because if there's any issue, like, if he hasn't reflected by Monday, I should let him know. I saved his number. Papa now calls me on Sunday morning. So I picked the call, thinking it was an issue with the account or something. I'm like, hello, hi, blah, blah. Next thing he starts, doesn't know what I've done to him.
Ah.
That everybody knows him. It's all about his work and his business. Blah, blah, blah. But that ever since he saw me, he can't stop thinking about me.
Oh my God.
I'm like, what nonsense are you telling me this morning? First of all, my family was busy praying in the parlor. I excused myself, thinking it was a sensible something for me to tell me. So I was under that, can we see each other, like, today after church? I said, no, I'm going home with my family, and we usually go home together. I said, and what about after, that we can meet up at a restaurant, blah, 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 blah. I said, bros, it's not going to work and everything. So he's like, do you have a boyfriend? At this point, I was trying to end the call. I said, yes. He said, what's his name? I told him one of my friend's names. And I said, where is he from? I said, the States. He now said, next thing, so how many abortions have you done for him?
What?
sorry?
What?
I'm like, excuse me? He's like, oh, that I can't tell him that he won't judge. Oh, boy, I just hung up the phone. And I blocked him. Excuse you?
Wow.
First of all, how bad of a reputation must my school have for you to, like, generalize, okay, it's all of us, number one. Number two, you don't know me from Adam. This is you trying to get me to meet with you. And this is the question you're asking me. How many abortions have I had? Well, I can't tell you. So I'm like, no, I ended it. I blocked him. I told my younger sister, she was so upset.
It's definitely...
I feel like I didn't even react right. It was a weird question. It threw me off completely. How do I respond to that?
I don't even know how to respond to that.
Fam, this is... Mind you, I am, let's say, 300 level. Probably 19 at the time. No, bro.
No, but, like, your prior meeting was... In the bank.
In the bank setting.
In the bank setting.
I've come on a professional basis.
Exactly.
And you're coming to chat this trash to me.
Oh, did you guys establish like a social dynamic?
What? Baba said, what is my number? Because the issue was phone number related. So I give him my phone number and then he calls me to confirm if that was the number. And then he goes back to what he's doing.
Like, you guys don't have like another dial, like, oh, friendly this thing.
No, maybe like he's like, oh, what school do you go to? I'm like, Babcock, what level? 300. And if there's a giggle here or there, that's it.
So it wasn't like anything. Like,
it wasn't like any, I didn't even know his name. So I said his name as bank rep or something. And you're coming to tell me this nonsense story on a Sunday morning as I'm going to the house of the Lord. That's like the weirdest encounter I've ever had till date. I don't think anybody can top that.
That is definitely...
It's so creepy.
I mean, that's definitely...
I refrained from going back to that bank for a while. But unfortunately, it's my bank branch. I think I had to go there for another issue. And I still had to go, like, upstairs to that floor. Lucky for me, I didn't see him there again. I feel like at this point, it's been so long that if I saw him, I would remember what he looked like. Which is for the best. Because...
That's definitely...
Creepy. It was so creepy. Weird. Some men are just...
A man will embarrass
you. A man will embarrass a bitches.
A man will always embarrass a bitches.
It's crazy.
I'm just picturing it and it's like...
It was so shocking. Like, imagine being in the moment when it's like, on a Sunday morning. Are you not supposed to be in church?
Like, so you have been ruminating this thing since Friday.
Since Friday.
Saturday, and then you thought you called me on a Sunday morning, and this is your approach.
This is your approach. How many abortions have I done? Wow.
Was it supposed to impress you?
I don't know. I think what was supposed to impress
me. Does that line work?
What was supposed to impress me was the fact that, oh, he didn't care how many I had done. So I could like he was willing to look past it based on, you know, how much love he seems to have based on the effect I had on him on Friday. Apparently. What do you say to that? Like, how do you respond to that? It's crazy.
I don't even know what to say. I definitely do not know.
But what was the question again? What's the weirdest thing I've had with a guy?
You cut off a guy, like, and that's definitely.
Oh, yeah. That's it.
That's definitely a weird story.
It's such a weird story, man. I'm pretty sure this guy was like in his 30s at the time. It's like, at what point do you have sense, you know?
I know, right? Okay, how many abortions have you had for him? That's the more yet. I was going to call it why men marry bitches, but
this is better.
How many abortions have you had for him? I'll decide one of them.
Yeah.
Okay. Back onto the dating questions. Would you date your friend's ex, or would you date maybe not the ex, but Feli's a very good friend of ours, beautiful woman. She used to crush on this guy, like really crush on him, and probably she's over him. And the guy is asking you out, would you, and you know of the prior
relationship, the prior situation.
Situation.
I think that's it. that's a tricky question.
Definitely.
Because first of all, I feel like it's messy. It may just be messy. Because first of all, why?
But the person has come to you, they like you.
The thing is, yeah, it's like, I can understand if, okay, let's say they had their thing, let's say, 4 or 5 years ago, right?
But there and was then, nothing.
No, wait, now, this is, the but question is your friend's, the question is your friend's crush or your friend's ex.
Okay.
So let's say he was the ex, right? And then, this is dated in high school. Who took high school relationship seriously? So let's say high school, and then now we're grown, we're adults, we happen to be in the same city, we happen to have formed a friendship and things kind of, you know, from there. I feel like it's a bit more forgiving. I mean, it was high school, so I guess in a way it can be, you know, overlooked. And another thing, it depends on the friend. Number one, how close are you to this friend? Number two, what's this friend's level of maturity? Number three, is this friend okay in the head? Because there's some mad people out there. So yeah, so if it's that situation,
would be, is the friendship what?
True. How deep is this friendship?
How deep is this friendship?
Exactly. And how deep are, let's say it's, what, let's say it's, exactly, what is there to lose? So let's say she's my best friend. She's like, I call her a sister, and her ex is coming to tell me this thing. It depends on, do I already like the guy?
Okay.
Have I liked him all this well?
Okay.
Or as he has come to confess his feelings, I've thought about it and I was like, I guess I could see this going somewhere. Definitely. So yes, I feel like the approach, I would want to have a conversation with that friend, especially if it's something that I am even considering exploring.
Okay.
Me, I would have a conversation with that friend, no matter how hard or how difficult it is, because I don't want to be sneaky about it or go behind her back, because at the end of the day, this is somebody that was important to her. So I would want to have that conversation and be like, hey, this is the situation, this is what's up, this is how I'm feeling, how do you feel? And I feel like I would respect that friendship enough if to walk away if it's making her so unhappy. Like you said, what are the stakes? It's just the guy. But then again, what if he is the guy?
What if he's the man that's supposed to marry?
What if he's the man?
The bitches.
So yes, that is one angle. Two, okay, let's say he was not an ex, he was a crush. Sister, if we didn't know, did he like you back? Whether you liked him or not, did he like you back?
Come on, you don't give a fuck.
Honestly, like, if it's a situation whereby she was just pining over him and I was aware of the pining and I saw how she was pining and it was not a healthy situation because brother did not like you, it's my fault that he now likes me. I'm a speck. But all jokes aside, see, it's like, would I want to be in that situation? Like you said, I think a year or two ago, I reconnected with one of my friends from high school and he dated my friend.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, you're talking to someone and you just feel peace. Just feel this peace. And it's just like, I'm that person here, I'll analyze every scenario.
Please run back.
Twice or three times.
Somebody and you feel peace.
Like, you feel, you just feel at ease. Like, it's easy talking to this person. It's fun talking to this person. Like, I don't know, there's just this calm. That I don't know how to explain what you experience, but there's this calm that comes to talking to some people, and I experienced that when talking to him. And I remember I spoke to another friend of ours and I was like, hey, something weird happened, I was talking to this and how I felt and everything. I was like, what if, you know, because me, I will analyze, could it be, has it happened, could this happen? I was like, what if, you know, blah blah blah, that you think so and so, that's the ex, would mind? And she laughed and she's like, because I am close to that other girl, and she's like, it's a tricky situation. And she's like, then again, we're mature now, we're good, blah blah blah. But yeah, it's always going to be a tricky situation, because surely if they had an intimate relationship, it's like, hey, last she was there first. So it's, I don't know, I honestly don't know. Can I? It's yes or no.
It's a possibility.
I mean, I'm not closed off to it, because what if, yes, they dated, but he may have been wrong for her and he's right for me. So I don't know.
Sing it, sister.
Yes, I don't know.
Sing it.
It's tricky.
Wrong for you.
It's a tricky situation. It could be very messy. I just feel like honesty is the way to go about it on all three parts, you know. Especially, like you said, with the stakes. What do I stand to lose? If I go ahead with this, what do I stand to gain? And I don't know, make a list. I don't know, but make making a pros and cons list and being honest about it, because it would then be awkward, especially if you are close, really close to the friend, and you want to talk about your relationship and talk about what he's done, and she'll be like, oh, when were they? That's what he was doing, and it's like, why? It's very, it's very messy, because then again, the guy may have changed and evolved because we've all grown, right? But it's like, there is always that, this was not how he was with me, or this is how he was with me, and it's like, I don't want to have to compare our experiences. Yeah, so it's
okay. It's tricky for guys, at least for me. A friend of mine has, like,
is that your ex?
Dated, no, like an ex, someone like maybe she, like, you know, had a crush on and everything. And I did actually have problems. I think maybe I don't know for that guy, but for me, I don't think I have an issue with it.
Yeah.
As long, like, if it's not like something where I have to, like, question that, oh, were you guys having a thing when we were together?
But then again, I feel like maybe that may be because of how you and the other person ended. If you had ended on really bad terms, or like she broke your heart, I think you may have had a problem with it.
Because
this person hurts you.
Okay. Then there's this other one, which... Oh, this person actually... You get it? Where it ended in a heartbreaking manner.
Who broke his heart? You did the breaking. They broke you. You were the breaky. The biscuit.
I was a broken biscuit. But then again, I honestly can't say too much about it, because I mean, I also made a lot of mistakes.
I guess you were younger then.
Yeah, I also made a lot of mistakes.
Younger, foolish.
It was definitely not on her. I'm not going to put that on. I'm going to take full responsibility.
Yes.
And then, right about the time I started coming down from the hill, you get it. So I think, and my brother, my very good friend, started climbing up the hill.
Wow. Your friend knew about you guys now. I mean, you're just like, you called me brother.
Yeah.
So Baba knew. Say that trash.
Well, it wasn't that, but then again, it wasn't that deep. We never really discussed it. I don't think I ever spoke, but it was something where I think it was a little bit obvious.
It was a lot obvious.
You know who I'm talking about. Definitely a lot obvious. And then, of course, Baba knew, but I don't even think he ever came. We spoke about it, but it was in such a friendly way. I don't think I've had an issue about it. Like, I never felt anything.
Oh, you know another thing? Yeah. I feel like it's easier for guys to let things go.
I don't know.
If you were a girl.
I really, because I genuinely like the guy. Great friend of mine. I genuinely still like this girl to this day. Like, I don't have feelings for her again.
Yeah.
I genuinely still like this guy. I'm being, like, a very close friend. And one of my very good friends still dates. And like, it's like when I reflect back and I'm like, wait, that dynamic happened, but it didn't register with me. It didn't, like, emotionally it didn't register. Like, I was like, oh, maybe I counted it as maybe whatever I thought I was feeling for the girl.
Yeah, it wasn't
way more in my head than it was in my heart.
It's possible.
It is possible.
I mean, look at how it turned out.
Look at how it turned out.
Yeah. It's just like...
We are all friends and family now.
Yeah. In a perfect world, you shouldn't even have any exes. Let's not be kidding. But at least let my friend not be your ex. Or don't be involved with my friend. It's just... Yeah. Let's just not.
I can appreciate that. I can definitely appreciate that. Would you date someone with kids? Another, you're looking for a mentor.
A mentor. Honestly, yeah. Because you're not just dating the guy.
Of course.
You're dating his kid. Nah, to be honest, I wouldn't. How? If you're the one, and God has said you're the one, I mean, I have to love that kid.
Okay.
I just have, I have to love that kid. Like,
the kid doesn't love me then.
Well, the kid has to love me too.
Why
because does kid? If your daddy has said it is me, excuse you, you're gonna love me. Okay, like on a more serious note though, like, see, this is someone with kids. I mean, I have no experience, so I can't speak on it or speak for people who have done it. Ideally, it's like, I'm not sure I would want to, because it's, if it doesn't work out, what if I go to love the kid and it doesn't work out? So what happens to our relationship that the kid and I have formed, you know? It's just, no, I don't think I would want to. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. You've had your kid is a blessing to you and everything. That's amazing, I'm fine. But if it was going to work out, like if I was going to do that, I'm doing it with the intention of it working out, because I can't walk out of your life and out of the kid's life too.
So, that's very, very deep.
Yeah.
How many kids do you want?
Prior to doing this ONG thing, eh? The thing is, here, it's one thing to talk about, I want 4 kids, I want 5 kids, I want 3 boys and 2 girls.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fantasy until you witness childbirth. There's nothing pretty about childbirth. Nothing whatsoever.
It's definitely wonderful experience.
And you know when they say, oh, like once the kid is out, like you forget the pain. Yeah. Who are we lying to? No.
I mean, like, do you see how the,
I mean, they're all happy, like, and it's amazing to have, you know, grown this little human
rush
with you for 9 months. Yeah. And then, you know, yeah, there's this rush of oxytocin and feel good and
yes.
Nah, G, I feel like at this point, it's too many. I want, or even 1 step. I don't know. Somebody, I think we had a labor one and someone was like, would I like have an epidural? Yes. Because I can't stand pain in any form. So it's not, I don't know. I honestly don't know. I don't know today how many God gives me, I'm willing to accept. But if I could, if I could get the 4 kids without having to do any of the pushing, that would have been amazing. You know, but I feel like there's just something about the whole pregnancy experience, carrying the babies, experiencing all the firsts in uterine and post-uterine life. It's just, it's an amazing thing to witness. Not pretty, but very. Oh, my kids are going to be, they're going to be in order. So yeah, I think right now I'll just say 3. My mom had 3, so let me just say 3.
Okay, all right. So how important is family dynamic?
My mom always prays this prayer.
Like the person's family dynamic.
His family dynamic.
Family, like, how important is
this? It's very important. Because the dynamic you have with your family kind of relates to the type of dynamic we are going to have and the dynamic you have with my children. Mm-hmm. So it has to be on point. But ideally, chances are it's not the same for everybody. Some families were dysfunctional or are dysfunctional, and some are. It's God that's holding us together. So yes, the thing is, if your family dynamic is strange or dysfunctional, why has it always been that way? Is that what you know to be normal? Because what you know to be normal is what you're coming to come and do in the life we're trying to build. And I feel like if it's on the more on the negative, there's going to have to be a lot of unlearning and relearning that you have to do for our units to work.
Preach.
So yes, like, what's your dynamic with your family? As I'm coming into that family, because I'm marrying your family as well, as I'm coming in, what's the dynamic going to be with me? How much of, I'm trying to think how to word this properly, how much of a hold do they have on you? I don't know if that's more a positive hold than a negative hold. A positive hold in the sense of, can your family call you to order if you're fooling? And negative in the sense of, can you like put your foot down when you need to? So yeah, there's that. And my mom always prays this prayer that we'll marry into families that would love us, cherish us, accept us. I pray that prayer very strongly, because imagine you have this amazing relationship with this guy or this girl, and then their family is heads through of some family dynamic recently, and it's like, I don't know how I would feel marrying into that kind of dynamic, because if you're entering the situation but there's already opposition, it's going to be tough. You're going to have to do a lot of work physically, spiritually, because it's like I'm trying to live an easy life. So,
soft life.
A soft life. I'm not going to spend the first 3, 4, 5 years of my marriage casting and binding family demons. It's not what I plan to do.
There's enough demon outside.
There's enough demon outside. My family is supposed to be my safe haven. And as I've come to marry into your family, it should be a safe haven for me too. So it's, yeah, family dynamic is important. I feel like most people, especially nowadays, they just rush into things and then they don't consider a lot of things. I feel like things should at least be settled on both sides, your side and my side, before coming to, you know, so I should be and do Bella Ninja for the wedding. So yes, it's very, very important, and I don't take it lightly, and I don't think you should too, because yeah.
So, that was
it was deep. It came from the depths of my soul.
I appreciate it. I really appreciate it. Okay, so speaking of dating and everything, what would your ideal date be like? Can you describe your ideal date?
My ideal date. I think my ideal date would be something that has an activity. Especially if it's a first date.
Okay.
Because if it's a first date, I wouldn't want us to go sit at some restaurant or all the awkward.
Why not?
I mean, sure, there's that, you know, there's AC blowing, you know, the wine is cold.
You need to talk.
You need to, yes. But the thing is, you know, there are jitters and nerves that come with first dates. And it's like, they're sitting down the table, is my hair right? Is there lipstick in my teeth? You know, does this dress make me look fat? So it's like, there's all that. But then, if for our first date, we go go-karting, for instance. First of all, there's adrenaline that is pumping through your veins. And it's like, it takes away all the awkwardness of it all. Like, there's, even if there was nothing for us to talk about, or you're not so great a conversationalist, we can laugh at other people doing foolish things. We can, like, it's, there's an activity bonding us. There will be something for us to talk about. So, I like things that have adventure. No mountain climbing, please. Like, I'm not hiking.
Why not?
I'm not hiking with you for nothing. Like, what? I hate climbing mountains. I know I hate climbing mountains. I climb the mountain. I hate it.
I'm you hate
doing.
Hiking?
I hate hiking. Yeah. Anything that's hiking, count me out. I'm not doing. So yes, we could do something fun. We could go mini golfing. We could go karting. I don't know.
That's your ideal first date.
Let's do an activity.
Something that's small adrenaline pumping.
Yeah, adrenaline pump. Or let's say if, I don't know if, well, in the Ghana that we live in, you cannot invite me to your house, say you want to cook for me, I won't come. But let there be, even if it's something, I hear there's a planetarium here that I've been meaning to go to.
There's a planetarium in Accra.
Best was telling me about it. So yes, something, you know, let there be activity. Then our second date, we can sit down, because I know a little bit about you now.
Okay.
For us to talk. But I mean, I'm not opposed to the whole let's sit down at a restaurant, have some candlelight, blah, blah, blah. But I like, let's be active, because I just feel like it will take away a lot of the pressure.
A lot of the pressure.
From the date. And at the end of the day, the date goes horrible.
Because most of the time, you are, at least from my perspective, I'm usually thinking and overthinking and underthinking and rethinking everything I'm saying. I'm like,
actually, and you have to like think of your answers, and it's like, I don't want to come off shallow. I don't want to think this is all I care about. It's like, if you are doing something fun, you are doing an activity, even if the date goes horrible, at least you know, okay, I drove that car and I had fun. It's a nice experience that we can both take away from whatever else transpires during the date. Or let's go for ice cream. Put food in me.
Food, it really is the way.
Yeah,
food,
honestly, like, okay, let's say we go karting and then we stop off for ice cream, or like, let's do things, like, make it fun, like, let's be spontaneous. Let's have an activity. I like activities.
That's nice. So if, let's say somebody wants to ask you out, right? Somebody's looking at your mother. One of our very amen listeners, is looking to, and wants his bitches to be yours. What can a man do to stand out? What would catch your attention?
Honestly,
if someone wants to approach you and like wants to, you know, at least pick up that, hey, hello, please, you know, please make eye contact. But so best can have to approach. Yes, it's so. What can best do to stand out?
Honestly, I think it's your sense of humor. Are you funny? Like, are you really funny? Or people just laugh at your jokes so you feel good? Like, are you funny?
I am funny.
You're funny. Then like, cool. I like people who make me laugh. Another thing I find sexy is the sound of it, that is laughter. So if you are funny, really, I like people who make me laugh, because I'm telling you, me, I'm always frowning. I should stop frowning. I'm always frowning, or let's say, I don't understand what I'm just not smiling. What is there to smile about? So chances are I'm not smiling. So if you, even if I'm walking for time, you stop me, it's like, what happened? Why? Like, what do you want to see? But if you make me laugh, chances are I would laugh. And once I laugh and you see my beautiful teeth, you're encouraged to continue.
Okay.
So laugh.
Wonderful. That sounds fantastic.
I mean,
so would you consider being an open relationship?
No. 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 It's a flat no. Mm-mm. I mean, kudos to the people that do it. It's kudos to the people that do it well. Because it does not need to end well. So if you are, if that's what, the thing is here, I'm all about what are your intentions.
Mm-hmm.
If this is what you want from the start, tell me. So I know that, okay, I'm packing my bags, this is not where I'm supposed to be. Because I cannot share you with anybody. Let's never come to talk of the from the health perspective of you're coming to bring all the venereal diseases and whatever my way. Let's not even go there. It's just like, no. At the end of this, I'm going to talk about, like, if you are aware, you will know, okay, if you know that if he's not picking your call, he's probably here, and that this you know. I cannot do that. I cannot share. I don't even like sharing food. I'm not saying I'm coming to share a man. No, I'm sorry. Like, I can't do it. I'm not interested in doing it. It's like, no. If that's what you want to do, more grace to you. Go and do it. But, there's nothing to explain.
Okay. I know some people that are actually open to it. Like, so it's an unpopular opinion, but I'm
good for them. Like,
it's not.
I respect people. And especially when it's like, I don't want to have to, like, overthink. Or it's like, at least I know that if he's not picking my call, this is where he is, this is what he's doing. I'm aware that this is your other girl, and it's open and it's honest. Great for them. Leave me and the thinking. I don't want to know. Like, no, I'm not interested. I have zero interest in doing that. Like, it's not what I want to do. No shade or disrespect for people that are doing this. Great. That's what they want to do. It's fine. But for me personally, I'm not interested. I'm sorry.
See, we have already started entering the Kelly Willy part of this thing, but we're about to enter it full time.
Okay.
So what is the most unpopular opinion that you have?
Grace is trash. It's just Shane and Joran fried rice. First this first, why are you green?
Curry.
It's like, I think it stems from me not liking curry. Or turmeric. I don't like it. I don't like the way it smells. I mean, I like the way it tastes in food.
It's jollof all the time, and
if the person made the jollof, cool. I don't know that there's curry inside. Great. But me, if I'm cooking jollof, I won't add curry.
Wow.
Growing up in my house, every time we were doing Christmas, my mom would make jollof rice, fried rice. Everybody knew that I was not interested in the fried rice bits. So yeah, I don't like fried rice. I don't like, why are you green? They have come to pack all the carrots and the green beans. That thing annoys me so much. So I have zero interest in fried rice, zero interest in preparing it, zero interest in looking at it. Then I come to Ghana and I see what you guys do here that you call fried rice. Sure, I don't like it either. It's not green. So I think it's not even the curry. I don't know what it is, but it's just
what sauce that they use here.
Yeah, I'm not interested.
It's not curry, it's soy sauce.
Whatever. I found if I like soy sauce, but mm-hmm. Just like, no. I don't want. I'm not interested in it. Another thing it's a bit of an unpopular opinion, fries. I don't like homemade fries.
You don't like homemade fries?
Mm-mm. For me, it has to come from a restaurant. From a restaurant where they bought the frozen chips and fried it. Not where they sliced the potato with their hand and fried it and chucked it inside the thing and says fries. It has to be the frozen one. That's the only way I can eat fries. Growing up, my siblings were eating Irish potato, so I remember eating ham. I grew up like that as an adult. I didn't used to eat like restaurant fries, like frozen fries as a kid, until I grew up and I was like, okay, this thing tastes nice. But it has to be the frozen, the
bag. You don't like fresh fries.
I don't like fresh fries.
French fries.
No. even no matter how you do it, you know, some people they'll say, hey, if you coat it in corn flour, it'll be crispy and it'll be black. So long as I see you slicing it,
I want it. Sweet potatoes,
yes. I had my fill as a child of sweet potatoes. So then I started doing, because I cannot be eating yam all the time. Let's buy her sweet potato. So I like sweet potato. And then I got to a point where I had enough of it. But recently, I found myself eating sweet potato again. So I really like sweet potato, but the Irish potato, don't fry it in front of me. Don't slice it and come and give it to me that you have fried it. It must be the frozen one from the abroad.
So, okay. What if I get you the frozen fried? Like
if you get me the frozen, I'm just allowed to. If you get me the frozen fried and I fry myself, I'll pick like one or two and I'll get tired. So it's just a weird thing of the, like, it's weird.
It's a mental thing.
Yeah, it's a mental thing. It has to be. But if I'm in a restaurant, you know some restaurants that have like open kitchens where you can see them frying, I don't mind. But for me to pour the oil and come and fry it, that's where the problem lies. So yes, French fries. Fresh fries. That's
fresh fries. You don't like fresh fries.
Another nasty thing is shortbread. Why do people eat shortbread?
What do you have against shortbread?
Let me tell you what I have against shortbread. I was going on a trip.
I love shortbread.
It's nasty. Like, it's first of all, the smell. It smells like milk. I don't have anything against milk, but I just don't like the way shortbread smells. I was going on a trip as a kid. Apparently, I used to eat it as a kid. So I was eating it, I was happy in the car, and all of a sudden, maybe I had had too much or I was ill, I began to throw up. You know when you throw up and then you associate food with?
I
mentally blocked and associated shortbread with throwing up. So it's like if I smell shortbread, I would want to throw up. I don't like it. Like, it's not. I'm not interested. So yes.
Wow. So definitely unpopular.
People love it. And it's like, why?
Oh, but that's
it's red. Even the shape annoys me.
Trapezoid.
No.
Magnetis. Oh, you have this magnetis. Oh.
I like magnetis. The digestive. I like that in boarding house. I took it to boarding house a lot.
But wait, you went to boarding house?
Why is this news to you? Yes, I did.
This is news to me.
How is this news? Well, I don't act as someone that went to boarding house.
You definitely do not act.
How do people that went to boarding house act?
Like me. Like, you know, ras people that has been through the fire.
Wow.
You have too much of an agenda to.
I went to boarding house, so admittedly it was like a prep school, but it was boarding house.
So it was a prep school where they were giving you ice cream.
At least give us ice cream, please. Our food was crap. Please give us really better than Tokyo.
So that was new.
So our menu went through several revamps. First school was bougie. We had this.
Definitely.
We had two swimming pools. We had hostels
swimming
at some
pool.
Point. I kid you not.
You did not go to a boarding house.
I went to a boarding house. There was bullying and all sorts of nonsense.
You went to a big children's hotel.
A big children's hotel. So as I going from there to Babcock, it was like, okay, this was more a graduation from one high school to the other.
Yeah, Babcock is definitely for those people that are listening and don't know what
Babcock University
culture
is.
Can you Babcock culture? Babcock University. We have heard about Babcock, but Babcock culture. If you can give a little bit of background.
So you know they do claim the school is owned by the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And you know how Seventh-day Adventists are?
No, I don't. Tell us.
Well, from Babcock, I haven't really Seventh-day Adventists. I know I met them in Babcock.
Okay.
So. There are a lot of rules. We're not allowed to wear denim of any sort. We're not allowed to wear
denim jeans.
Jeans, like if it's a jean jacket or jean trousers, no. No denim. We're not allowed to wear earrings. So you go to school, you come back, your ear hole has almost finished closing. So yes, no earrings. We weren't allowed to wear like sleeveless stuff like this. I don't know if the ampute was enticing to the boys. So that was the dumbest rule, if you ask me. Like, why can't I wear something sleeveless? So we're not allowed to wear sleeveless. We're only allowed to wear skirts. You couldn't wear pants of any form, like leggings, khakis, slacks, nothing. Skirt, and your skirt must be 3 inches below your knee. So here. Although you could get away with wearing your skirt here, and then there was you're an adult, or you're supposed to be an adult in training, and you should be able to like challenge authority when you feel like they're being unfair. If you do that, they'll charge you with insubordination. I mean, when I say charge you, you'll face a panel and defend yourself and all those things. Yes. No earrings, like I said, you were only allowed to wear makeup on occasion. And that one was, let's say it's your birthday, and when they see you, they're like, ah, today's your birthday, Abby. Yes. And you can't be, it's not that you now wear red lipstick, you know.
No red lipstick.
You have to be subtle. Where do you, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are going to? Then hair. This was the appropriate length for hair, shoulder length. Shoulder. You can't have anything longer. No, as you're coming to school, they'll cut it. They'll cut it and tell you to go and bond the tips so it's not loose. I said that's course.
Babcock University.
It's my alma mater. And I am proud. What is our motto? Proud to belong. So yes. But then there are lots of things that are so unnecessary. And also we encourage dating, we encourage relationships. But then, you know, that's like brief. That's like, these are the rules that everybody knows. If you know Babcock, you know, okay. And yes, we don't eat meat. You know that verse in the Bible, Daniel 1 verse 9, where Daniel proposed in his heart that he wouldn't defile himself with the king's meat, and he chose his vegetables, him and his friends.
So by force vegetarians.
By force vegetarians. You're eating a bar and a good soup with egg or tofu. Occasionally though, throwing chicken nuggets, and it's like, what? It's not also chicken.
It's meat.
It's chicken. So like, yeah, the only place on campus you could get meat was the guest house, which was like kind of like a hotel. They had like rooms that you could lodge in, and it's part of Babcock Investment Group, so that's probably why. And then if you want us to not have meat so bad, don't sell it to us. So like at the guest house, they'll sell it to you, but every other like food vendor or food kiosk is either it's egg that's in it or it's chicken nuggets or it's tofu. So yeah,
wow, sounds like fish.
Not even the fish egg. Nothing.
But then why eggs? Like why chicken eggs?
I don't know why chicken eggs. I honestly don't know. So you won't get beef, you won't get nothing, you know.
This is malnourishing you people.
Malnourishing also. And then they'll be like, oh, the food is nice, the food is made, you know, a 5-star, blah 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 blah. Nothing. It's just nothing.
Wow.
The food was so crap. And then obviously, like, you come to school, because it was the cafeteria, that was the only place you would get food, unless you're going to be buying food every day. So when you go to school, you choose your meal option, whether you're doing breakfast and supper, breakfast and lunch, or breakfast, lunch and supper. Then you get your meal tickets, and then that's what you use to, like, get your food.
Yeah, that thing. Like,
so we had meal tickets.
You have to buy and get your tickets and everything. I always thought that thing was weird.
So you get a whole booklet, and then if you misplace it, you have to go and, like, don't give it around, you have to go and buy it. So, yeah. And people used to obviously still post meal tickets.
Of course.
It was the funniest thing.
Of course. It's literally just food, like, right, sitting on your table.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was a little bit of what Babcock was. But it was fun though, like, I won't...
Really? What fun are you having?
We used to have mad fun, like, we used to have miserable festivals, music festivals, but like, every pop...
You
like,
can't dance.
Oh, you could at the festivals you could dance now. Like we used to do, because we used to go to church on Saturdays, right? So Sundays, if we're having a festival or something, it's probably be like Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening, and our curfew was at 9. So the festival
9 p.m.
So your festival has to end before 9. So
curfew,
like
for university, yeah. 9 p.m.
Yes, and then like, you know, it's annoying. You walking. Let's say you're
university.
Walking. Let's say you're walking with a boy. We used to call it docassing. So you and the boy are docassing, and then let's say it's like 9:30. That's when the security will come and start shining torch on you. Because I have to go. Say bye bye. Say good night. It's ridiculous. So like, yeah, we used to have fun. I mean, it was.
It's like a lot of fun.
It was like a high school experience all over again, more with, you know, a little bit more maturity. Because like,
what was mature about that?
No, in high school, if you're supposed to have a boyfriend, if you have a boyfriend, you're hiding it. In Babcock, you can have your boyfriend, but you know, it must be in a godly manner. I don't even know what that means. So yeah, and then so yeah, back to the music festivals. Almost every artist has been to Babcock. Like, I think for our freshers festival, the Brush on Tizzle. I don't know why the Brush on Tizzle. But the Brush on Tizzle. Then I think the year after that, they brought Corinne Bello and Ricardo Banks. Kiss Daniel came once. I think DSF came to host the time that Kiss Daniel came or something. So like most and then Buju, he's gone back to Babcock to like perform, which was like a full circle moment for him, so great. But yeah, so
Buju went to Babcock.
I know. Yeah, I won't go to this podcast blues now, and then later when I'm running for governor, they'll come and get footage from him. So yeah, I won't say anything negative about him.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I won't. I cherish the experiences I had, the friends I made. I mean, it was in Babcock that I told the bastard boy that I liked him, and you know, that's not. It's an old wound. So yeah, it was fun.
So that was the end of this episode and the end of part one of this conversation. But it's not over. We have lots of more interesting things that we actually go into and talk about. Please don't forget to send your comments and suggestions on what you thought about what you've heard about during our conversation to our DM on Twitter at @vibes_nkillywilly. Vibes_n, like the letter N for Nigeria, I guess. Yes. N for Nigeria, then Killywilly. So check it out on Twitter. And at the end of the day, just, you know, keep it friendly. Let's have conversations. Let's just laugh. Don't forget, it's all about vibes and Killywilly. Catch you all next time.